Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis. The leaders of the 2019 Iditarod are mushing along the edge of Norton Bay this morning. Girdwood musher Nick Pettit's team was the first to reach the Unalakleet checkpoint Sunday. He led a tight chase pack comprised of Pete Kaiser, Jesse Royer, and Yor Olsom, the defending champ, by about 2 hours. We'll have a full update on this year's Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race at 7:45. The Fairbanks City Council will once again consider a controversial equal rights ordinance in tonight's meeting, and city officials are anticipating another big turnout of both supporters and opponents of the measure, which was intended to protect members of the LGBT community and other groups from discrimination in the workplace and in housing and other public accommodations. But members of the local Christian community and others oppose the ordinance because they say it violates their beliefs. The dispute has grown sharper over the past couple of weeks since the council approved the ordinance on February 25th on a vote of 4-2, with Councilman David Pruse and Jerry Cleworth dissenting. 3 days later, Mayor Jim Matherly vetoed the measure, and so the ordinance is once again on the agenda for tonight's meeting, which begins at 6:30 at City Hall. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports the mayor's office anticipates many members of the public will want to offer testimony tonight, so the city reportedly will begin a new policy of randomly selecting from among those who've signed up to speak. A University of Alaska Fairbanks researcher has made a discovery which could dramatically increase electronic data storage capacity. And as KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the work could break a computer memory barrier dictated by particle size and stability.
UAF Geophysical Institute Professor Gunter Kletechka's work is hard to wrap your mind around because it involves nano or billionth of a meter size particles used in computer chips. Kletechka and colleagues have developed a technique that gets around current size limitations. It allows control of the magnetism of particles within tiny cylinders of carbon or nanotubes, a technology Kletechka says has the potential to increase data storage tenfold.
Let's say you have a now regular chip, and that chip, let's say, have a 2 gigabytes of memory. And now if you replace this 2 gigabyte by this invention, you get 20 gigabytes.
Kletechka says the potential is far greater if the organic graphene nanotubes can be employed to interpret DNA.
As you are passing the DNA through the graphene by measuring the electronic properties of the graphene material, you can basically do sequencing. Does it make sense?
Maybe not in a short radio story, but Kletechka assures that the use of DNA for storage would offer a shattering data capacity leap.
If you store memory in a DNA, it would be many more orders of magnitude increase of the memory space.
Kletechka emphasizes that the work is still in an early stage. He and collaborators in Japan and the Czech Republic recently published their research in the journal Nature Science Reports. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
The public comment period for the Pebble Mines draft environmental impact statement is underway. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is asking for input on their assessment of the copper, gold, and molybdenum mine that's been proposed for the Bristol Bay. The final document will help federal agencies decide whether or not to permit the mine. Critics say the 90-day comment deadline is inadequate to review the document. They also say the draft has excluded certain evaluations of how the mine could impact the environment. KDLG's Izzy Ross reports.
The draft environmental impact statement for the proposed Pebble Mine weighs in at more than 1,400 pages. Critics, like the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, say that the 90-day window set by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers doesn't allow enough time for adequate review. PBRSDA represents commercial fishermen. Executive Director Andy Wink says that the comment period needs to be longer for a project that he believes could fundamentally change the region's fishing industry.
You know, a 90-day comment period is just not enough time to consider the potential ramifications of a mine project like this, especially given what's at stake with the natural resources and the fish resources in the area. It's going to take us some time to work through the document.
A similar sentiment was levied at the state level. In a bipartisan letter to the Army Corps released Tuesday, 20 state lawmakers, including House Speaker Bryce Edgman of Dillingham, said that the comment period was inadequate and requested more time for the public to weigh in on what they called arguably the most important proposed Alaska project of our time. Both Senators Murkowski and Sullivan have also said that they would support extending the time for public input. Aside from the length of the comment period, the mine's critics say the document's shortcomings render it wholly insufficient. Some point out that the draft EIS does not include a hydrology study to assess the impacts of a major tailings dam failure. To that end, BBRSDA commissioned its own independent study that analyzed several different scenarios if the tailings dam were to fail. They hired scientist Cameron Wobus from Linker Technologies, a consulting group, who explained those scenarios in a recent presentation.
And the upshot is that in every scenario we looked at, a tailings dam failure would directly impact hundreds of miles of anadromous waters and potentially indirectly affect almost the entire Nishigak-Mulchatna watershed system.
Pebble's dam tailings would hold mine waste, the material that remains after extraction. If leaked, that waste could generate acid and damage water quality and fish habitat in the area. According to the Army Corps, during the mine's 20-year lifespan, the likelihood of such a failure would be extremely low, about 1 in 2,000. Wobus countered that since the tailings facilities would be present long after the mine closed, that likelihood would increase over time.
It's important to think about this landscape feature as something that will be there for hundreds of years, not 20 years.
Despite calls to extend the comment period, Pebble Limited Partnership spokesman Mike Heatwall argues that 90 days is a reasonable amount of time to weigh in on the draft, which the company sees as a positive step towards getting a federal permit.
We did a very first pass through the document to make sure we didn't see any major environmental or data gaps that we, showstoppers, if you will, and certainly didn't come across any of that. And we've been spending our time now doing a much deeper technical dive, and we'll continue to do that.
Heatwall also says that in designing the proposal, Pebble took the 2014 Mount Polly tailings failure in British Columbia into account.
We did take a hard look at what happened at Mount Polly, and have included a lot of lessons from that in our design. One of which is not using the tailings storage facility as a water treatment, as a water storage area. And designed it as a flow-through, and then reinforced the buttress walls, if you will, to make sure that the stability of the structure was sound.
The public has until May 31st to weigh in on the draft. The Army Corps says that the final EIS will be released in early 2020. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
And I'm Tim Ellis.